Hi, my name is Liz.
And this is Claire.
And you're listening to Chatterbox Island English Podcast. Welcome back to Chatterbox Island English Podcast, in which we talk about all kinds of interesting stuff in English.
In last episode, we talked about some weird habits that are surprisingly common, such as talking to yourself or making sure every door and closet is completely shut before going to bed.
So if you want to find out more about the weird habits that are relatable, you can go check it out after this episode. Just click on our podcast or YouTube channel or any platform that you're listening to right now.
And you can also leave your thoughts in the comment section on our YouTube channel, and we would love to know what you have other weird habits.
So for today's episode, we're gonna talk about our personal experience of culture shock. To start off, what are the countries that you have been to so far in your life?
I don't travel a lot like a pro, but I did visit some places that influences me in many different ways.
Okay.
Like I've been to China, also got chance to live there for a period of time and for 2 times.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was 21, I was in Hong Kong and 24 in Suzhou. And other countries are India, UK, France, Thailand, Japan, Korea, and Singapore.
So you're saying like you travel all those countries and you're not a pro?
I'm just an AirPods generation 2. Not even close to an AirPods pro.
Okay, so I'm gonna sound like a generation 1. I've been to Japan, Thailand, Singapore, Malaysia, and the United States.
So what are some of your most memorable experiences of culture shocks?
I think the tipping culture in the US is definitely one of the most memorable culture shocks for me. It's not like I've never heard of the tipping culture in the US before, but when you're actually there, it feels very different from reading or hearing about it, right? Mm-hmm. So it was kind of confusing for me, as in like when and how much I should tip, because how much you should tip usually depends on what kind of restaurant you go to.
Yeah.
So, and I remember always using my phone to calculate how much I should tip every time when I'm about to leave a restaurant, because my math is really terrible.
So it's got a fine line between how much I should tip, right?
Yeah.
So what's the average percentage you should
tip? The average is 10 to 15%.
So for me, it's when I was in Hong Kong, you know, I've been studying in Hong Kong for a period of time, and I found people walking incredibly fast.
Mm-hmm.
And even the speed of escalator is even faster than any other country I've been to.
Really?
Yeah, it's really fast. It's like, you know, a roller coaster.
It sounds really dangerous.
Yeah, and everything is way more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And fast.
Okay, that sounds like a really stressful place.
Yeah, it's really stressful, and the buildings and apartments are really high.
Yeah, like really tall, right?
Yeah, every buildings they've got like 40 to 50 stories. I'm not kidding. Yeah, and escalator, it's only, you know, the space is only for one person.
Oh, okay, so everyone is just on one line.
Yeah,
on the escalator.
Usually, yeah, usually.
Okay, I get it. Wow.
That's a pretty huge culture shock for you, right?
Yeah. I can feel that through your words.
Yeah.
So another culture shock for me is, well, we're gonna,
you know, relax a
little relax bit. A little bit and talk about my embarrassing culture shock. So it's the dating culture in the United States. Yeah. So I don't want to go into details, but
I do. Okay. I'll just skip this.
We can talk about it after the podcast.
Okay, sure.
But basically, I was sort of dating this guy when I was in the US, and I thought that, you know, dating means that this person is ready to commit into a relationship. Mm-hmm. But turns out dating and being in a relationship are two very different things in American culture, because I think for them it doesn't always come together. So I think in Taiwan, when most people start dating, they usually like grow into a relationship,
mm-hmm.
right? Because
yeah.
You usually date someone exclusively.
Yes.
And then you want them to be your partner in
the
future.
And they kind of, you know, casually seeing many people at the same time.
Yeah, in America, they tend to like see it as more casual, like I'm seeing this person.
I'm just seeing this girl.
And I'm seeing another girl.
I get
as
it.
Well.
So you just like, you just can't help but wanting to ask them like, what relationships are we right now?
Yeah, and I think a mindset for them is that dating doesn't necessarily has to become a relationship. Sometimes they just date for fun.
See. Okay, yeah. So my next one is also relates to Hong Kong.
Okay.
So you can see how much Hong Kong, you know,
influenced
me a lot.
Yeah, okay.
And it's that their food, legs of vegetable.
Wow.
And if you take out a regular bento, in Taiwan, you've got a portion of rice, meat, and maybe 2 to 3 kinds of vegetables, like broccoli, cabbage, maybe some cucumbers.
Yeah.
So in Hong Kong, none. They only offer maybe one leaf of a certain vegetable on the side. Can you believe it?
So there's like rice and meat.
Yeah.
And then
separately.
And then a leaf.
A leaf on the, maybe on the rice.
Okay,
yeah, sometimes on the rice. It's just like, you know, dressing
yeah,
with a leaf or vegetable.
That's the word
how they should use. Okay?
It's not supposed to be a side dish. It's just a decoration.
Decoration of it. You know,
okay.
High class, 5-star food.
That sounds really unhealthy though.
Yeah, and I think people are, you know, busy, you know, struggling to make the ends at the end of the month to feed their families.
Okay.
So they just don't care about their health.
But do restaurants offer like a dish of vegetables? Because there are a lot of Taiwanese restaurants do
that.
Yeah,
but I don't think there are not as many as Taiwan's restaurant got like a plate of vegetables.
小菜, right?
Yeah. But in Hong Kong, maybe in some certain restaurants you can get, but it's pretty expensive. If you want to, you know, eat more healthier or have more green foods, you gotta to buy and cook by yourself.
Oh,
but for students, you don't have a
kitchen
to cook, so that's pretty hard. And when I was in, you know, student canteen, and you see a lot of people, they eat with their lunch with a cup of Coca-Cola.
What?
It's like black tea with a bento in Taiwan.
Okay. So they usually offer a Coca-Cola.
A Sprite or some soda. In Taiwan, like soda is for kids or middle school students.
Or just generally junk food, right?
Junk food. But they will just see Coca-Cola as, you know, a type of tea. Yeah.
If you're listening to this from Hong Kong,
can you tell me why you love Coca-Cola?
And do you have enough vegetables in your meals?
Yeah, and tell me where to buy it.
Yeah.
Where to buy some food with, you know, enough portion of
vegetables
in Hong
them.
Kong.
Yeah. So according to Work the World, which is an international organization that focuses on overseas healthcare, we might think that culture shock is purely a social phenomenon, but it can actually cause physical and psychological symptoms when someone first encounter one.
Have you ever heard about reverse culture shock?
No, not really.
Well, I've been there because it's almost the same syndrome suffered by people when they return home after getting used to the way they live overseas. Yeah,
okay.
So it maybe took me perhaps 6 months to a year to bounce back my regular life.
So you are so used to the
overseas life.
Life of Hong Kong?
Yeah.
And when you came back, it was...
Yes. I studied there and I feel like every student and my classmates, they were all aware of what they were doing, and they were like building their career before they graduated. But when I came back to Taiwan, I feel like everybody just like
so laid back,
and they don't know what they are studying and what they want, and they don't even want to try to seek any opportunities. It's like Taiwan is like so comfortable. So I feel like in Hong Kong, I have to try so hard to get my credit. But in Taiwan, you don't have to work
so hard. Yeah, you don't have to work so hard.
You can, you know, get your degree or diploma or something else.
Yeah.
You just get some sweet credit from some relaxing or easygoing professors' classes. And it will just make you easily graduate.
I get what you're saying is that in Hong Kong you have to be more competitive.
Yeah, it's a competitive society and which create a competitive, you know, studying environment. And you have to know what you're going to learn, and what you learn is how valuable in the market. You have to know the result. Yeah. So including like this kind of low mood, or maybe sometimes it makes me headache, or rapid mood swings, anxiety, and or even inability to focus.
Wow.
Yeah. But once you gradually adapt to or get familiar with the foreign culture or your local culture.
Yeah,
culture shock or reverse culture shock can develop as a growth for individuals.
And you may find the culture shock helps you better understand different cultural values, or maybe inspires you to look at things from different perspectives. It can help you broaden your horizons in general.
And don't be afraid of the culture shock. It might seem a little bit uncomfortable at first. Trust me, I've been there twice.
Twice.
But just remember, that's a learning process and experience. It got an extremely hard learning curve, but keep an open mind and make your own space for you to learn. It will become a valuable lesson in the end.
So do you have any experience of culture shock? Feel free to leave a comment to us in our YouTube comment section.
So that's all for today's Chitterbox Island English podcast. If you enjoy this episode, you can subscribe to our show on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts.
You can also find our shows on YouTube and go on our website. That's www.eisland.com.tw for more information.
I'm Claire.
I'm Elise.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.